You are welcome to Faith to Faith broadcast. Enjoy the dynamic teaching ministry of Pastor Tibby Peters, the President of Renaissance Assembly Incorporated. This message will take you from where you are to where you ought to be.
Taking the message of faith around the world by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hear the call. Seize the voice. Fight the fight. See the vision. Seize the moment. Take your place. Fulfill the tasks. Seize the moment. Finish the course. All things are yours. All things are possible. Tarry not. This is the appointed time. These are your inheritance moments. Time for new beginnings, multiple accomplishments, and everlasting harvest. Keep your clouds full of rain. Let it rain. Take the good news everywhere, in season and out of season. Extend, expand, and establish. Hold on. Then rise. Did you hear that? Hold on. Extend, expand, and establish. I thought it was finished. He said, after that, then rise, shine, and reign. Let Christ be Lord to you. Let Christ be Lord through you. You will hear good news and see good things. Welcome to good things.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Help me appreciate the worship team. Just welcome a minister close to you. The person close to you might be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastor, teacher. Just thank them for coming. Appreciate them. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Glory to God. Welcome. Thank you for coming. And I want to believe that for the next hour or thereabouts, have a wonderful time together. Amen. Apart from this session, we have a Q&A session after now. And then I think it will give us some opportunity to have some conversations. Amen. Ministers need conversations. I hope you know that. Among themselves, they need a lot of conversations. And those conversations will clear up a lot of things. A lot of times, we don't even know what a minister is thinking. Glory to God. Error starts with a thought. And then it builds. Is that not so? But if someone was thinking it and then the conversation started, you say, I was just thinking, what if the Godhead was five? And then you say, no, it's not five. Amen. Then I thought it was five because I read about the five stones. Glory to God. Today someone will be blessed. Today someone will receive clarity. I believe that today someone will be encouraged and someone will be comforted. There is a comfort that only God can give to a man. In ministry, if you've been around for a while, you will suffer losses. But God is the comforter. Today I pray for the comforting power of God's Spirit. For every ministry, every minister here in the name of Jesus Christ. Comforted. One of the meanings of comfort is to be consoled. God will pat your back.
Amen.
He don't do. He will pat your back. Like that. You live here with the path of God on your back. And those your silent and secret tears and the wounds in your heart will heal. In Jesus' name. Today I just want to enjoy myself with you guys. Amen. You know, so just, you know, and I want to thank you for coming. Great friends here, wonderful faces. I hope that when we close, we'll just be able to shake hands and chat a bit before you leave. Amen. Glory to God. You know, the thing about this meeting is that you might not even know the Jew that's sitting close to you. So please greet the Jew again and say, Jew, welcome. Amen. Glory to God. Jew. Everybody here is Jew. Amen. So please greet them well. When you are worshiping, be careful. Because, you know, the thing about Jews is that most of the time, they are not used to worshiping from here. So when they are worshiping, someone quack them, say, oh God. So please, just bear with the quacking for 1 hour. Is that okay? Glory to God. Oh, a scripture comes to my heart. It says, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Psalm 35 verse 27. Then it says, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, the one who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Man of God, woman of God, that is your scripture. It's your scripture. So when he say, you don't read and say, let them shout for joy. No, you shout and be glad. Hey. I love that scripture. He said, let them shout for joy and be glad. We are the ones that favor his righteous cause. The agenda of the kingdom on earth, we are the ones making it happen. That's the righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. The one that takes pleasure in your prosperity. You will do well. Brother, sister, are you in ministry? God takes pleasure. He doesn't take pleasure in your downfall. It is in your prosperity. In your well-doing. Sit down for a moment. I want you to know as a minister, and I say this to even believers, God is more concerned about your success than you are. Some people behave like they are the ones that want to succeed. It means God is not interested in success in ministry. God is interested. If he didn't want to succeed, he wouldn't have called you. Amen. Today, receive light. And sometimes it's not even the topic. It is the side comments that someone goes home with. But that's how you know that the Spirit of God has spoken to you. Amen. Thank God you are sent. Lift your hand and pray this morning. And let's just get into God's word this morning. Can you just pray in tongues for a minute or two? Moshibrahande ke sile bratona mastietos. Rebeketuna mazeproso bredigezo. Rebeketuna mazeketiros. Breto sile brondo sile brados. Zegredo zebledo zebledozo. Rebeketuna sike protozo. Rebeketuna mazike proto bregadiate. Rabakatuna masile broto paligroso. Zigavata bratose bretose. Zeketo barune sigebroso. Barata yabakatoze merotopa lebrondo ko celebrades zekreto celebroso zatata zigadoje meruda basiledo jebredoske rebeke toma zopreti araba seliradoso lebrondo ko celebroto prediete sileroso. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Father, we bless you. You are the one that strengthens our hands. You're the one that guides our feet. You're the one that leads us. Today, we yield to that leading. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for utterance. In Jesus' mighty name. Today, I want to share along the lines. We've never had a minister session that we completed what we wanted to share. But I'm just going to be sharing along the lines of what I've titled The Message and Mission of Christ. A lot of times, the big issues we have in the body of Christ are the result of the small issues we ignore. When it comes to our Christian faith, the foundations, the fundamentals, they are more important than what you think. It was Paul, believably writing in the book of Hebrews, you know, when he spoke in Hebrews 5, he talked a lot and then talked about Melchizedek. Then when he got to verse 11, he said, of Melchizedek, of whom I have many things to say. That means that all that I'm saying is few. All that I said about him, few. Amen. He said, of Melchizedek, of whom I have many things to say. He said, these things are hard to explain. Hard to interpret. Amen. Why? Because he said, they are dull of hearing. Glory to God. That means that sometimes there are things that are hard to explain. Hard to explain. King James put it up in King James Version. In KJV, I'm quoting, he said, these things are hard to be uttered. That's the language he used. Some other writings say they are hard to give expression to. Glory to God. They are hard. They are not in the sense of my own incapacity, in the sense of how you will understand it. Praise the Lord. And that's why we must labor in doctrine. Glory to God. In all we are going to say today, I will say to you pastors, ministers, if you have a group of people that listen to you, that you teach God's word, my brother, go and teach them. Between this September and December, teach more than you taught from January to September. Teach more. The message and mission of Christ. For me, this is like what summarizes what ministry is all about. If we ask ourselves what ministry is, there will be several accurate scriptural definitions. And all of us here as ministers, if I should ask for definitions from each minister, you will give me an accurate scriptural description. Hallelujah. But just to help further simplify what ministry really is, glory to God, I put it this way. Ministry is about the message and mission of Christ. I believe it's not ambiguous. Amen. And it's not complicated. One of the proofs of being deep is that you can explain something simply. So if you get deep, you'll be able to explain things simply. And as ministers, that's what we should strive for, to be able to explain things simply. Because what had happened in the body of Christ in recent times shows that we still have maybe a generation or quite a number of people that didn't understand what had been taught. Glory to God. So in verse 12 of Hebrews 5, he said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again. So some of us need to be taught, some need to be taught again. Did you hear me? Some were never taught. So they need to be taught. Some were taught, they've forgotten what they were taught. They need to be taught again. In this case, he was saying you need to be taught again. People of God, go and teach your congregation again. Amen. So I said ministry is about the message and mission of Christ. We've had some, you know, I just thought of the messages we've had in these sessions previously, and you could request for those messages. We've done a teaching on the good minister of Jesus Christ. Who is the good minister of Jesus Christ? Amen. We've done a teaching on redefining success in ministry. I'm just mentioning the few ones I can remember. Then last year I taught on why, the what and why. Remember that? The what and why. For those of you that are aware, the what and why of ministry. What is ministry? Why am I doing ministry? Glory to God. Now, that was very important because your definition of ministry determines your approach to it. All of us might be in ministry with different definitions of ministry. If all of us don't agree that ministry is about the message and the mission of Christ, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have many things in between the message and the mission. So this issue of the definition of ministry, the purpose of ministry, very important. It has to be clear to you as a minister. What is ministry? Why am I in ministry? I've met folks that when they talk, you understand that why they are in ministry is not what God had in mind for ministry. Some people have brought new purposes to God. This is why we should be in ministry. Glory to God. Like I used to say, that this is the generation that has shared revelation that has made the Holy Ghost say, wow. This generation has shared revelation. The Holy Ghost himself has said, wow. Because even the Holy Ghost had never heard it. That I'm saying that the spirit of truth had not heard that truth. Glory to God. Are you with me? We're getting there. So, let me just learn this. When we talk about ministry, just to help you, you can't talk about the what of ministry without understanding five major things. They are just basics. Number one, that ministry is service. Amen. Ever say ministry is service. It's very basic, but we need to remind ourselves. Ministry is service. Service. Without the Greek and the Hebrew, ministry is what? Service. Don't forget that. If you need a scripture, I could give you a scripture for that. Galatians 5:13. Amen. Number two, ministry is partnership. Ministry is partnership. Partnership with who? The one that called you. Not with people necessarily. With the one that called you. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1. Ministry is partnership. You know, when you understand that ministry is not just working for God. It's working with God. There's a big difference. So ministry is partnership. Number three, ministry is inheritance. Acts chapter 1 verse 17 and 20. You could read it in the Amplified, preferably. Ministry is an inheritance. It means there's a portion of service that God has placed in your care. You can't do everything. Amen. Are you listening to me? It's an inheritance. When they were talking about Judas, how he had betrayed, how he had done what he did, they said, look, who's going to partake of this inheritance, this lot? Amen. Someone had fallen out. The inheritance is still there. Someone has to feel it. So ministry is an inheritance. Number four, ministry is representation. 2 Corinthians 5:20. When the Bible says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Ministry is representation. That means that God represents himself on earth through our ministries. He represents
His interest is represented in that community through your ministry.
Amen.
So ministry is representation. The day you got into ministry, you became a Kohen. Let me not use that one. An official of heaven.
Amen.
Upon the earth. Is representation.
You know, if you read 2 Corinthians, sometimes you don't know whether Paul is talking about himself specifically or is talking about the church or the believers. Amen. Are you with me? But if you read the context of Bible or the New Testament, every believer is a minister. Is that not so? But now, even for those of us that are in the fivefold ministries, I'm saying that ministry is representation.
And number five, ministry. Did I give you scripture for representation? 2 Corinthians 5:20. Amen. Number five, ministry is warfare.
2 Timothy 2:3-4.
2 Timothy 2:3-4. Ministry is warfare. It's not a fun fair. Amen. There is a contention for something.
Amen.
You have opposition. Glory to God. You are in ministry, there is opposition. These are just basic ways to just simplify what ministry is. All right? And it's important that you have that clarity in your heart. When it comes to why we do ministry, why did God call us into ministry? Number one, to give you opportunity to participate, for participation. To participate, to work with Him. Number two, to give you an opportunity to contribute because there are things He has put inside of you. Praise the Lord. So, we are not in ministry. It's a privilege that we are called to participate.
Amen.
It's a privilege that we're given opportunity to contribute. Amen. And again, I will say, it's also a privilege that we are going to be in that place to represent Him. So, participation, contribution, and representation. And in this age, there should be an emphasis on the ministry, on the understanding of ministry, that ministry is representation. Let me digress a bit. You know, we teach about the priesthood of the believer, and that's beautiful. But that scripture didn't just say we're priests. It says we're kings and priests. Is that not so? So I believe the time has come where there should be emphasis on also the kingship of the believer.
Amen.
The kingship of the believer, you are not king inside church.
Amen.
The kingship of the believer is out there in the world. Glory to God. And that is representation. I'll say it again.
Amen.
Representation. How can we have believers representing if they are not even sure of their doctrine?
Amen.
Amen. Are you with me? How? So I go back to what I said. Ministry is about the message and the mission of Christ. What do we mean by the message? The message is what Isaiah 53:1 called the report.
Amen.
Everybody say the report. Who had believed our reports? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who had believed our reports? That means there was a report. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the message, we're talking about that report. That report is what we also know as the gospel.
Amen.
Are we together? While the mission is the responsibility. The message is the report. The mission is the responsibility. Jesus said in Mark 11:29, actually, after He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Then He said, take my yoke. That's responsibility. Take my yoke.
Amen.
Take my, Matthew 11. Matthew 11:29. Say, take my yoke upon you. Glory to God. And learn of me. Is that not what He said? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's responsibility. Then He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The last verse, right? So, in ministry, it's the summary of it is that you are responsible for that report.
Hallelujah.
And responsible, you are also in charge of that responsibility. There's a yoke.
Remember the scripture in Isaiah 9.
He says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. All right? He said, the government shall be on his shoulder. We are also carrying that thing with him. Amen. That's the yoke. Through our work, the scripture will be fulfilled. Of the increase of that government, there shall be no end. Are you with me? So where we're going to is this. That the message and the mission, I'm just explaining what the message is. Now, sometimes we have people that have tried to study and understand the mission. And they have been trained. You know, someone can learn the ART, art of ministry, without having the heart for ministry. For the purpose of what we're focusing on, I might stay more on the side of the message. As I said, I don't think we'll finish. Amen. But this is what ministry is. And as we go back to wherever we are coming from, let us just add this to what we're already doing. Amen. Let it just strengthen our resolve. Glory to God. You know, sometimes you could just be looking at what everybody's doing and get carried away. Ministry is not a new idea. Amen. It's not a new idea. It's not a new idea. It might be to a new generation, but it's not a new idea. And that's why I have issues with where people are behaving like they're trying to reintroduce God. Amen. Like God has changed. God has updated. God has become civilized. My brother, God is still primitive. Amen. He told you before the time, I am the Lord. I change, and you put it this way, say change it. Amen. Amen. You are the one saying change. Change it. I change not. Amen. Meaning that I am not going to update. I am not going to transform. What I am is what I will always be. Never forget that. So when we talk New Testament, we're not talking new God. There might have been a New Testament to a new generation, but it's not a new God. Never forget that. And my friends, we have Americans here. God is not an American. And God is not from your village. Amen. Amen. Did you hear me? God is not American. God is not Nigerian. God, are you getting what I'm saying? Because sometimes we're trying to interpret God in the context of our culture. So some people have a God that is also a woke God. So God does not body shame. Go and read your scripture. Go and say, thou fool is from God. No apologies. Amen. Amen. He said, the scripture said, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. The scripture. That means anybody that you hear say, I don't believe in God, scripture has been fulfilled. Fool. That's why when Jesus walked the face of the earth, full expression of the Father. You know, sometimes people are trying to repackage this Jesus and God. He can't be repackaged. Deliver him the way he is. If you walked in the time of Jesus, maybe you would have been offended too. The first major time we saw Jesus, okay, one of the stories at least, where he came into the temple and saw them selling. Jesus didn't say, please, please. He didn't write a letter. He said, I hereby instruct you that you shouldn't. He didn't write a letter. The Bible says he took whips. Is that not so? Is it not scripture? And he drove them out. I was more gentle than that. I am more gentle than that. That means Jesus is more aggressive. So be careful when we try to reinterpret, reinvent. You think everybody liked it? That there are some people that never forgive him for that. Then you later tell them he's a Messiah. He cannot be Messiah. That wicked man cannot be Messiah. That he flogged me for back. He cannot be Messiah. Are you listening? I'm being make practical with you. There's no how anybody will agree that that guy was the Messiah. Because there was nothing nice about chasing those guys out. Glory to God. Never forget that. So we have to be careful about some of these things. Glory to God. So as a minister, you are a messenger. Amen. And I like to say it this way. You are not just a messenger. You are a messenger and a missioner. I didn't say missionary. Because you are too used to the word. It's missionary, but you are too used to it. So I'm using the newer word, missioner. Amen. Say, I'm a messenger and a missioner for Christ. Amen. Glory to God. So I am a messenger and I'm a missioner. So I'm on a mission. Everyone here, you are on a mission. And you are carrying a message. Never forget that. While the message is about a person, the mission is about people. While the message is about a person, the person of Christ, the mission is about people. Glory to God. Now, it is necessary to be schooled in the message. Some people have not been schooled in the message. I just quoted the scripture earlier. The Bible says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Then it tells you which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Amen. So it means that even the messenger needs to be schooled in the message. It's not just some of us are fighting to be schooled in the mission. But now, be schooled in the message. Permit me to say this. One of the things I got to see about the group that call themselves Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses is that even the regular person, I don't know how their structure is, have a clear idea of what they believe in. Amen? Do you know that? So they are schooled in their message. Hello? So you must sit with the message and be schooled. The next verse, put up verse 13 of Hebrews 5. Let me just bring out something there. He says, put it up please, I want us to see it. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. You could substitute that word that in the message of righteousness is unskillful. Brothers, be skilled in the word of righteousness. Be skillful in the word of righteousness. Now, let me explain this in a way. You know, one of the ways you can prove skill is that when something is presented to you in a different format, you will still be able to solve the problem. Hello? Are you with me? That shows that you're skilled. So let's use driving for example. You are not a skilled driver. They told you how to go straight. They didn't tell you how to turn. And then the situation arises where you're going to turn. You say, no. But to be skilled in driving means that whatever unexpected circumstance comes up, you have the knowledge and experience to respond. Amen. So being skilled in the message means that no matter the doctrine that comes, you'll be able to respond. You didn't hear me well, though.
Some of us have not taken time to be schooled in the message. I believe that we also need to be skilled in the mission. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So how is the church of Jesus built? Glory to God. We need to be skilled in that. So we're not doing trial and error, trial and error, trial and error. And you know the funny thing is that we can't afford to be playing with people's lives. Amen. Glory to God. I believe that ministers should be properly trained. I believe in that. Well, I believe in it because the scripture believes in that. Amen. That's why the scripture says that lay hands suddenly on no man. Lest you be what? A partaker of his what? Sins. That means that as long as the man has not been trained, he will make mistakes. Glory to God. And the one that exposed him before he is ready to be exposed is a partaker. I once met a young man that came around some years ago when we were at our former venue years back. It's over 10 years now, maybe 13 or 2 years ago. And he used to come around for our services and come for our meetings. He didn't fully integrate into church. But he already had like a ministry, you know, so he was already preaching around and then he came. So one day he took what he heard in church because he belonged to a fellowship somewhere, let me not mention the area, but somewhere in River State. And then in that fellowship group, they meet maybe, I can't remember, Saturday afternoon or Sunday evening. You know, and nowadays there are many of Sunday evening and Saturday evening. Sorry, I'm not trying to. So they meet those kind of times. And fellowship, they call it a fellowship. So they allowed him preach. And he started preaching the message of the New Testament. Amen. Christ died for your sins and all those kind of things. They say, hey, don't preach that in here. So he said, why? He said, you want us to be useless. When you start preaching this thing, they will not need us again. He said, when you tell people that they can find answers for themselves from the scripture, why would they need us? Because this is a deliverance ministry. So they stopped him, or rather they were telling him not to preach that here. So he came and told me. And I said, then what are you even doing there? Praise the Lord. So after a few months, he came and met me. And that's the reason I'm telling the story. And said, what's my plan for him? That's how he asked me. I said, I don't know. I know sometimes I could be naive about those kind of things. So I was like, I didn't understand why he was asking me a question. Then he said that in that place, they want to ordain him as a pastor. But he would have loved to be here. Be careful who people would have forcing you to ordain them. He said, but he would have loved to be here. So he just said, let him tell me. I said, you can go. Then I asked him, I said, are you a medical doctor? He said, no. I said, if you go to a hospital and they employ you as a doctor, won't you know that the hospital is a fake hospital? Are you getting it? Yeah. I said, are you a medical doctor? He said, no. I said, if you go to a hospital, you are not a doctor. They now employ you as the chief surgeon of that hospital. Does that not tell you that the hospital is a fake hospital? I didn't explain further. Hello? That they want to ordain you. Go and be ordained. It's not everybody they poured oil on their head that was ordained, though. No, sir. No, sir. I say to you by the Spirit of God, no, sir. This apostolic succession we talk about, it is heavenly. It's when we get there, you know who was ordained and who was poured oil on. Glory to God. You can't go for him if you first didn't come to him. If you didn't come, you can't go.
Ministry is an invitation into a partnership for representation. You are invited first. Called. So when you send someone that was not even called, he's just a winter. Amen. Glory to God. I pray that God will help our generation to be a generation with several teaching priests and wise master builders. The teaching priests are people that are skilled in the message. I believe it was in 2 Chronicles 15 where it talked about the teaching priest and showed you what happened in the time of Israel. Put it on verse 3, 2 Chronicles 15. It talked about what happened when he said, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God. That means that without the teaching priest, people will have a wrong picture of God, a false image of God. And without the teaching priest and without law. May this generation, may God raise more teaching priests in our generation. And wise master builders. Paul said, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. And another builder thereon. Glory to God. So I come to the core of what I wanted to talk about today. Our focus for the hour is the message. What do we mean by the message? The report. What do we mean by the report? The doctrine. I always say the doctrine. The doctrine. I will start by defining what a doctrine is. What is a doctrine? I'll just give two simple definitions. You know, Paul was writing, I believe it was in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where he was talking about from verse 12, where he said talking about, and he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, you know, I think the 14th verse, go to verse 14. I just want to show you that part where he said, 14 please, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So there are winds of doctrine. Everybody say winds of doctrine. Now, the scripture didn't say false doctrine. It just said wind of doctrine. Amen. So, some pastors have been carried by a wind of doctrine. Then when another wind comes, it carries them. When another wind comes, it carries them. It said, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I think it was during the prayer time or the testimony, our pastor, Pastor Fortune, quoted a scripture where the Bible says, for in the latter times, 1 Timothy 4:1, right? Some shall depart from the faith. Thank God didn't say all will depart from the faith. We are the some that remained when the some departed. Some shall depart from the faith. Oh, does that not show you the possibility of departing from the faith? He didn't say God will throw you out of the faith. You can depart. And they go. Some shall. So some people say, when you're born again, you can never. I'm looking for trouble. I'm trying not to look for trouble today. The scripture says, some shall depart. Your experience cannot be more real than this scripture. Yes. Some shall depart from the faith. And the reason is false is doctrine. Giving heed to what? The word said is that deceiving spirits. And Doctrines. So listen to me. There are doctrines of devils. Why is it called doctrine of devils? Meaning that the Satan packaged it and added it to the guy's notes. Added it to his notes. One line in the notes has spoiled the whole thing. What? Let's use poison for an example. If somebody wants to poison you, they bring a cup of poison and give you. Will you drink? They have to put it in something you already eat. The poison will be very small. The food is big, but it will kill. Is that not so? So lift your hand. Say, in the name of Jesus. I will not give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In my church space, they will not give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. I resist every effort of darkness to encroach my space with deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. Amen. Listen, there are certain demonic experiences that cannot happen in your life until you open to those doctrines. What is a doctrine? First definition. A doctrine is a belief or set of beliefs taught by an individual or an organization. Simple definition. This is dictionary definition. A belief or set of beliefs, hallelujah, taught by an individual or an organization. That could be said to be a doctrine. That's why if you see in scripture, the Bible says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. What the apostles believed in, the set of beliefs that the apostles had, this early church continued in it. So that's a doctrine. Number two, definition of a doctrine. A doctrine is a body or system of teachings relating to a particular subject. A body or system of teachings relating to a particular subject. So over the while you hear about the doctrine of the preservation of saints. You know it as eternal security, right? So there's such a doctrine. The doctrine of identification, our identification in Christ, and so on and so forth. It's a body, glory to God, of or system of teachings relating to a particular subject. So the Bible talks about the doctrine of righteousness. Amen. Are you with me? Okay. But now, that doctrine, I was trying to say that today I don't want to speak Hebrew or Greek because I'm trying to make a point that you don't have to know Hebrew or Greek to understand Jesus. If you didn't know Hebrew and you didn't know Greek, the scripture is prophetic enough because there's a spirit behind the scripture to help. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I love something Spirit Good was said many years ago. He said, I don't read my Bible in Hebrew, I don't read it in Greek, I read it in the Holy Ghost. I pray that this generation will read their Bible in the Holy Ghost. Read your Bible in the Holy Ghost. The Greek that you are speaking now might be different from the Greek you were speaking then. Words have modified over the years. Amen. But you see, the true intention of God has not changed. The message that God had in his heart for mankind has not changed. So, the Greek word, you know it. For doctrine. Amen. So in active sense, doctrine means act of teaching, instructing, tutoring. Amen. The act of teaching, instructing, tutoring in active sense. In a passive sense, doctrine means the teaching which is given or that anyone teaches. That should be enough. Praise the Lord. Doctrine. Now, the Bible talks about the doctrines of men, and the Bible talks about the doctrines of devils. We just mentioned that. But there's such a thing as the doctrine of Christ. Glory to God. The doctrine of Christ. Let's look at two portions of scripture where that was mentioned. Hebrews 6:1 and 2 John chapter 1. I'll read from 9 to 11. Amen.
And if you observe, let's look at it closely. Therefore, leaving the principles of what? The doctrine of Christ. Although here the Greek word used was slightly, it was different from the regular Greek word used, but the communication is still the same thing. We use the Greek word for logos, rather. So, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Is that not say? So, there's such a thing as the doctrine of Christ. Everybody say the doctrine of Christ. It is say, leaving the principles of a doctrine. Is the definite thing. The doctrine of Christ, definite. Okay, so we'll go to 2 John 1. I'll read 9 to 11. Amen. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, he said, this is, now the other writing, we believe is Paul. This was John. He said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in what? The doctrine of Christ. So there's something that means that as he was talking to the people he was talking to, they knew what the doctrine of Christ was. They knew what he was talking about. Are you with me? If I mention a movie, I say Titanic. You know what I'm talking about. Is that not so? So, in this case, when he mentioned the doctrine of Christ, the people he's talking to, they know what he's talking about. He said, if anyone, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, had not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he had both what? The Father and the Son. Oh, did you get that? If someone is abiding in the doctrine of Christ, he has the Father and the Son. He will not downplay the Father or downplay the Son. Or, let me not look for trouble. Now, what do I mean? In recent times, I've heard people question the deity of Christ. How dare you? Amen. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. Is that not so? How could you question? Listen, there are two things about Christ. He stands on two legs. His humanity and his deity. If you remove anyone, he's not the Christ. So anyone that abided in doctrine of Christ, he had the Father and the Son. The last verse, the next, I'm reading to 11. Yeah, so there's more to it. If there come any unto you. Did you see that? This is what we'll be doing now. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Don't give him coke. Neither bid him Godspeed. That's to make you understand how dangerous that thing is. Now, let me just surprise you. Do you know who is talking? The apostle of love. So you can't be talking that, you know, maybe, you know, the person talking was Elijah. Elijah is a very hard man. Elijah is a difficult man. Apostle of love. Say, don't allow him in your house. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. I will do it too, because the scripture says we should do it. I heard you preaching on social media. What is that you are preaching? And he said, that's what I believe. You cannot enter my house. Verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed. If you like his post, you are a partaker of his evil deeds. This is New Testament's instruction. He called it evil deeds. So, I submit to you that the doctrine of Christ is a specific information. Body of truth known to those he was speaking to is a specific information. It's not some, it's a specific information. It's a module, amen, of light. Glory to God. Are you with me?
You know, a lot of times when we come along this, so I pray that everyone here will stay with the doctrine of Christ. And if you read your Bible carefully, Paul spoke several times about what he called sound doctrine. Ever say sound doctrine. When we were growing up, I grew up in church.
Amen.
I've seen several generations of, by the time I was 13 or 14, I knew the doctrine of deeper life. I knew the doctrine of the Anglican Church. I knew the doctrine of Assemblies of God Church.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? So, I've sat in several Bible studies, even when I didn't understand what they were teaching us. And there's this language then we used to hear, sound doctrine. I don't hear it again. Everybody say sound doctrine. Hey. Sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Permit me to Greek you a bit. Amen. What is sound doctrine? Minister of God, what is sound doctrine? My opening text will be 1 Timothy 1:10. Maybe I'll just list out scriptures where the whole phrase, sound doctrine, was mentioned. So please be ready. Let me just flip through the scriptures and I'll come back to it. 1 Timothy 1:10. For warmongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to what? Sound doctrine. Amen. So, this was Paul's writing to Timothy, and he said he was talking about sound doctrine. The same, Second Timothy, the second book of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 3, after that, Titus 1:9, and we'll do Titus 1:9. I just want to show you all the places where he talked about sound doctrine. Second Timothy 4, 3, we have mentioned this one before. Want to go? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Where they will block you. But after their own loss, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want people to tell them what they want to hear. Who will tell them what they want to hear? Now, unbelievers are now preaching the gospel to believers. Explaining the faith to the one that has the faith. Hello, is that not a mystery? So, what I want you to identify here, we're all like Bible teachers here. So, what I'm trying to show you here, sound doctrine is what I'm showing you. The first one is 1 Timothy 1:10. Did you see sound doctrine? Then again, 2 Timothy 4:3. Are you seeing sound doctrine? Sound doctrine. Endure sound doctrine. No? Now we'll go to the next one. Titus 1 verse 9. Titus 1 9. In Titus 1 9 it says, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by what? Sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The gainsayers are the rebellious people. Everybody's going this way, they will go that way. So the only way to convince them is by sound doctrine. Titus 2:1. He said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Ministers, help me tell your neighbor, say, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Can you give it to me in New King James Version so that the thou will not be there? Put it in KJV, New King James, NKJV. Good. Want to go? But as for you, speak the things which are proper for. Did you hear that? That means that sometimes you say, this thing you are saying, that there is no heaven, this thing you are saying, amen, is it proper for sound doctrine? Amen. Please, I must answer heaven before we go. Amen. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. So what does sound doctrine mean? The word there, sound, we've seen doctrine, right? Doctrine, I try not to mention the Greek word, but you know, you understand. Didache. Alright, but now sound there, the Greek word for sound is ugiani.
What it means is health. Healthy. Everybody say healthy. Wholesome. That means the teaching that will bring health to the one hearing it. Are you listening to me? That is what sound doctrine is. Another word for it is safe. Something that is safe for the one hearing it. Glory to God. That's the Greek word there for sound. So now you are teaching. It's not about pouring out information. If I can take a medicine, a medication that is supposed to cure, but it can, you are used to kill somebody. Hello. Do you know I can use Panadol and kill somebody? So, a lot of times, it's not just the content of the message, it's also the delivery. Are you listening to me? So, soundness of doctrine. Sound doctrine is determined and measured by the consonance of what is being taught with the doctrine of Christ. So the doctrine of Christ is the standard to measure whether a doctrine is sound, is healthy for the one hearing it. Amen. Now let me just show you something for sake of time. Just show you one of the short things about sound doctrine. Amen. I'll just read Titus chapter 2 verse 2. We read verse 1. Let me show you verse 2. It says, now remember we just read 1 now. Okay, let's read 1 into 2. So you go back to KJV, please. Go back to KJV. King James. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Then he said in verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The first thing I want to show you is that if you teach sound doctrine, people will be sound in faith. Do you see that word? Sound in faith. Sound in faith. Sound in faith. Sound doctrine will make people sound in faith. That means they will have a healthy faith. Sound doctrine will produce both Christ-like character and Christ-like capacity. Did you hear me? You know, in the 80s in this country, early 70s into the 80s, they still had this, what they call the SU movement. It was very strong. What it produced more was character. Hello. Now, revelation came to help believers start growing to begin to have capacity. But they now left character and focused on capacity. Now, some have capacity, but no character. Are you with me? But I believe that that hour has come where the body of Christ will give attention to the quality of message that it teaches the brethren. Amen. All right. The Bible talks about being nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. It says the good means of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So the one that is nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. So we'll have brethren that are nourished up in the word of faith and good doctrine. So you have Christians of Christ-like character. Look at what he said about the aged. He said the aged be sober. Amen. Grave. What again? Temperate. Because of the doctrine. It means there are certain things you will teach and people become irreverent. Let me just say this because of time. There are two major things that we must understand. Any doctrine that will not produce love and honor in the believer is not sound doctrine. If it will not, at the end of the day, produce love and honor, regardless of what fire is coming out of the person's mouth, it's not sound doctrine. So when you watch people that have caught a new revelation and they're abusing everybody, I've said this statement many years ago in one of my friends' meetings. I said we must be gracious with the message of grace. How can you be preaching the message of grace, but you are the most unkind character, hateful, despising others? It can be. So if you are this sound doctrine, there'll be love, honor. Honor here is that honor for the sacred things of God. Honor for the things that Scripture has ascribed honor to. Scripture has ascribed honor to ministers of the gospel. Scripture has ascribed honor to the church. So if someone starts talking down on the church, you can't say you love the church, you love Christ, but you don't love the church. How can you love the head and not love the body? Amen. Is this helping somebody? So this issue of sound doctrine is what makes that we must rightly divide the word of truth. Because the word of truth can be wrongly divided. And I believe that that's what's happening in this generation. They are wrongly, let me use the word, dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing it means that the context, you know, people talk about context, the new, you know, is a very common phrase. In the context. Context is not just literary and grammatical context. Context of Scripture is not just literary and grammatical context. No. No. Time will fail me to talk about context. You see, someone made a statement one time, and the person said that you cannot take a scripture out of the context in which it was used. That's not correct. Paul did that many times. At least you know the scripture in Hosea that said, out of Egypt I've called my son. It was talking about Israel. But when it was quoted in Matthew, it said it was the Christ. Hello. Why? Because, listen, and let me just land it here. This scripture you are reading, it was not from an English mind. And the first place it came from was a Hebrew culture, right? So, the Hebrews, it's not, you know, some people are angry and they say, oh, God is practicing favoritism. Whatever you want to say, God is not looking for your vote. But God chose the children of Israel or the Israelites. It's not them that are telling us. That's how it is. In Romans 3, let me just read maybe 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let me just show you something. Romans 3. Sorry, I'm trying to rush. Romans 3. You know, I'm eating into our question and answer time. We'll still close when we're supposed to close. Please put up Romans 3. Good. Let me just stay here. He said, what advantage then has the Jew? Is there an advantage? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Now, is the Jew, what is the priority about the Jew? Then verse 2 now says, much everywhere. He didn't say nothing. Nothing there. He said much everywhere. Much everywhere. Chiefly because that unto them were committed what? The oracles of God. The speakings of God. He was looking for a group. He committed it to them. So, in terms of interpretation, there are different layers of interpretation, especially for Scripture, and it's good to understand it, so that you're not just quoting something. There are things that Jesus said. Jesus was at that feast in John 7. Standing in front of the feast, he said, out of my belly shall flow river. This spake he of the Spirit.
Nobody knew what he was talking about. It's just that it was written down. Then the person that wrote it and answered, "This speak he of the spirit which they that believe in him should receive." Are you listening to me? But for the people there, he was talking about something that was happening. That maybe they were pouring water somewhere, or they were doing something in the sacrifice. He saw something and just made a statement. But there was a hinted meaning. There was a hinted meaning. And that's how scripture is. Hello. So be careful about these issues of, you know, I believe that there are certain challenges we shouldn't even have. Glory to God. So we must rightly divide the word of truth. Glory to God. We must rightly divide the word of truth. And the challenge we have now is that people are acting like New Testament means that the Old Testament does not exist. No, you are misunderstanding the point. What does 2 Corinthians 3:16 say? 2 Timothy 3:16, what does it say? Let's look at it. 2 Timothy 3:16, let's look at it. Please read with me. Hold on. Did it say some scripture? Did it say New Testament scripture? What did he say? All scripture. All scripture is given. That means he's saying that the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, they're all given by the inspiration of God. And all of the scripture is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is not just about the New Testament scripture. Are you with me? No. I've used this illustration in the back cover of our 30 days series. We have 30 days in the book of Acts. In the back cover of it, you see something I written down many years ago. And it says that, I wish they could just put it up on the screen, but I don't know if they will be able to get it. I was talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I liken the Old Testament and New Testament to a structure. I said the Old Testament is like the substructure of a building. The New Testament is the superstructure. The substructure is the foundation that you can't see. The superstructure is what you can see, the walls and the roof and everything you can see. I said the Bible truth, the Bible, the Old Testament is like the substructure. Don't forget what I said. And the New Testament is like what? The superstructure. Now, we don't live in the substructure. Are you in the foundation of this house? We live in where? The superstructure. But without the substructure, there will be no superstructure. If you say, I want to remove the substructure, that means you want to also remove the superstructure. Because it won't hold. The reason why the New Testament is true is because the Old Testament said so. Are you listening to me? If the Old Testament did not say the new was true, the new will never be true. And where was Jesus teaching from Ephesians? Was Paul teaching from Philippians? Was John teaching from Hebrews? What books were they teaching from? The law, the Psalms, and the prophets. If you came to church in the day that Paul preached in, they were opening the book of Isaiah, Ephesians. That's where he was teaching righteousness from. So now somebody wakes up and says that that book is not correct. You are not correct, sir. And what makes that book complete is that God validated men and validated angels to speak. If you say that what the men said and the angels said are false, then even Jesus is false. Because the reason why we believed in Jesus is because Isaiah spoke about him. You know Jesus from your village. You know Jesus before? Amen. Angels came as part of to announce Jesus coming. Is that not so? Then if an angel can lie, God will not send them. But God expected men to believe in the word of the angel. Remember when Mary was to conceive. He said, how shall these things be? Do you know that when a man doubted an angel, he was dumb? That means God expected Zacharias to believe the word of the angel. Amen. He expected Mary to believe the word of the angel. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest of us shall. Who spoke that? Angel. So, which Gen Z angels now have started telling us lies? If you invalidate what angels said and what prophets said, you've invalidated Christ. Are you with me? So, we must have sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. So, we are careful about the things that people say. For example, I end with this heaven issue. Now, I hear that there's no more heaven. No, I'm not sure. But let me help somebody here. And I do it with a heart of love. Now, you don't need to be even a deep Bible scholar to be able to know that something is not true. Because it's not consistent with the entire character and context of Bible knowledge. The first question to ask is, did Jesus ever speak about a place outside of this earth? If he ever did, what is that place? It's not in my mind. It was not in his mind. It's a real place. Do you know in John chapter 1 verse 51? Jesus was speaking to one of his disciples. I believe it was Nathanael. He said, hereafter, you shall see the Son of Man. You shall see the heaven open. Is that what he said? And the angels of God, what? Ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The heavens. Is Jesus talking about heaven? Amen. So, where are they ascending and descending from? Go and read your scriptures. Jesus spoke so much about heaven. Amen. He spoke so much about heaven. And he himself ascended. There are several scriptures that emphasize heaven. Revelation 4, verse 1. Let's just read it. It said, and this after this I, John the beloved. If this was added in scripture, then a lie was added in scripture. And behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. Keep going. And immediately what happened? I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set where? In heaven. And one sat on the throne. He was talking about his experience. Isaiah had that kind of experience in the book of Isaiah. He talked about. Amen. Are you with me? It was not in his mind. No, it was not in his mind. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 13, give me 2 Corinthians 13. Paul made the same statement, different from John's experience. In 2 Corinthians 13, maybe, I think verse 1 or thereabouts, he said, this is the third time I'm coming to you in the mouth of two or three ways, shall every word be established. Next verse. He said, I told you before, no, I'm looking for the place that said, I was caught up to the third heavens. If I'm mistaken in the book, show it to me. I was caught up to the third heavens. It's good to have a Christian and this thing. No? Say 12, thank you. Thank you, just 12. Say, yeah. Go back to verse 1. Amen. Yeah, Christian. Yeah, Christian. If you didn't find it, I would have led you to Christ. Look at now what he said. It is not expedient for me, not necessary for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to what? Visions and revelations of the Lord. Then he started talking. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Paul's experience. Go. Keep going. Verse 3. Next verse. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Go again.
I just don't know where to stop. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He was talking about a place. And I submit to you too, I have seen that place. So nobody, this same experience, with all sense of humility, I've had the same experience. So you can't tell me what I do, what I know. You see, we have to be careful. We are ministers. No, there are some things you can't say if you know God. My brother and sister, there is heaven. Amen. And heaven is a real place. It's not a figure of our imagination, a figment of our imagination. It's not a figurative expression of Scripture. Heaven is a real, actual place. Glory to God. We don't try now. Did this help you? Let's rise to our feet. Glory to God. Every other thing we'll try and talk about during the question and answer. Let me just say this. You can arrange your chairs. Pastor Obina, I'll borrow you. We'll borrow you. We'll call it Pastor Obina of Trem. He's going to come off stage to help me with the question and answers. I just spotted him. Amen. All right. Let me just answer this. And it's good that you're standing. Oh, glory to God. Be arranging your chairs. It's when we finish question and answer, we're just going to pray. And I believe that the Lord is doing something in our hearts. And because of what he has done in our hearts, something will happen in our ministries. There's a scripture that has been misinterpreted severally in John 3. I think verse 13 and 14 especially. And the first time I heard it, I didn't take it seriously. But it has gone on and on. So I just want to address it since ministers are here. If 100 or 200 ministers got it right, it will help other brethren. Can I have John chapter 3, please? 13 and 14. So I heard somebody use it and I tried to correct the person, but I discovered that the thing has gone far. But you're already laughing. Read with me. And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Look at verse 14, please. And Moses lifted up the serpent, and even so, some Son of Man believed. Okay, go back. So 13 is where the concern is. So because of this line of scripture, there's a doctrine that says that Elijah did not go to heaven. Enoch did not go to heaven. Someone actually told me that Elijah died. It's just that the expression of the scripture was just saying that he was caught up. You know, I felt sorry. So, and this is the scripture that is used. So, but with an open mind, let's look at the scripture. What is the scripture say? It's similar to the scripture that says that no man had seen God at any time. Have you seen that scripture? Good. Now, I've shared this severally. Ministers have to be careful in your conclusions. If the premise is wrong, the conclusion will likely be wrong. I don't have time to address both, but let me just say this way. You know, there are people that are archaeologists today. They are digging, looking for fossils. With the way they have searched space, searched under the ground, gone to moon, see, somebody, if God was hiding somewhere, someone would have seen him. Yeah, now here they hide. The scripture is saying that nobody bumped into God. God revealed himself. Are you understand what I'm saying?
So no man has seen God anytime. That's somebody on the pastor. You know how you just see somebody. How many of you know? I've been somewhere. I mean, I saw a governor. Are you understanding me? Or I saw some high profile person that, you know, I didn't expect to see him there. You know, I just bumped into him. Nobody had seen God. People didn't see God because they found him. Anybody that saw him, he revealed himself. Now, so let me help you explain this verse 14. No man had ascended up to heaven. No man. Now, the Greek word there is anabaino. Everybody say anabaino. Anabaino means to climb on your own. To climb on your own. This same word, anabaino, here was used in the scripture I just read to you in John 1:51. Go back to John 1:51. In John 1:51, he said, yes, therefore you shall see heaven open and angels of God, anabaino, ascending. They will on their own go upstairs and come downstairs. That no man, go back to my scripture, no man by himself has said, let me go up. Every man that went was taken. Only Jesus went up by himself. He wasn't taken. I rest my case.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you've been blessed, please reach us via WhatsApp on 090-849-90878. You can also send us a message on info@faithtofaithonline.org. For more messages, log on to our 24-hour radio platform, radio.faithtofaithonline.org. Join us this Sunday at Renaissance Assembly for a life transforming experience at Plot 5, Sania Abacha Road, GRA Phase 3, Port Harcourt, 7 a.m. first service, 9 a.m. second service, and 11 a.m. third service. Renaissance Assembly, the church of the moment and the church of the future. Asia.